I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's Sanderson Farms Championship. It's storylines, it's best bets, it's one and done, and probably a little Ryder Cup chat as well. Joining me to break it all down, the coach is here. Coach, stoked to have you. We are recording this much earlier than normal. That's my fault, but I'm glad we could get you on because we haven't talked in a while. I'm excited for this.
Well, I have missed being on with you guys. I'm still sending my picks, and I'm ready, fired up, ready to go, and I had a solid start to my one-and-done year last week with a zero. However, I knew that KP was going to be hurrying back from the Ryder Cup. I couldn't miss this. Not for the world. Not for the world. So it's great to be here this week.
That's him, Kyle Porter, KP in the house. And it has been a long week for you. We are asking for one more session out of KP. We're rolling him back out one more time. Let's go. Let's see what he's got left in the tank.
Yeah, I'm like Lee Westwood right now, just trying to drag my way through the singles matches. I was just telling y'all, I am so tired. It is such a fun week. It's such a long week though, and you're just up late every night trying to. There's just so much information jammed into these 3 days, and so many crazy things that have happened, and I think that's part of what makes it so fun, but it's also part of what makes it so tiring as well.
I want to jump in real quick because I need to give you props because nobody ever does that. I literally was living like through your tweets and through your articles and through all your coverage. And I felt it like I'm not kidding around. Like I felt, and I'm a feel guy, and I felt how excited you were and your reaction to Rory and all that kind of stuff. So keep doing that because I, for one, even though I work with you, thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate that. It's an event that has meant a lot to me. I think it's a really important event, and I think it's a really meaningful event for everybody involved, including all of us who get to cover it. So I really appreciate you saying that.
I would never say this to his face, but Kyle's very good at conveying the emotion through words. I know how I feel. I assume I know how he feels, but I could never put that into writing. So Kyle does a very good job at that. Oh, there he is, KP. Kyle has an article up on CBSSports.com, which was kind of a Monday thing after the Ryder Cup. It was awesome. But we haven't talked, Coach. So I want to get kind of your final thoughts, takeaways from what you saw, a historic win by the United States, kind of a passing of the torch to a new generation, Whistling Straits, whatever, wherever place you want to go. I want to open up the platform and say, Coach, have at it.
Well, thank you very much. Because I haven't even had a platform to talk about this because we've been so knee deep in our NFL stuff over at the Early Edge. But I watched as much of the Ryder Cup as I possibly could. I had it on one TV. I had football on the other. And I had a couple of different takeaways. My one was this, that these 12 dudes sat in a room prior to the Ryder Cup and they looked at each other and said, we're getting ready to go kick their ass. and we're going to step on their throat, and we're not going to let up until we bury them. That was the look I saw on every single face when they would come out, no matter who it was. You never got that feeling that somebody was upset that they were sitting out a session, because Steve Stricker, I'll give him all the credit in the world, he had everything lined up. This is what we're going to do for foursomes. This is what we're going to do for four balls, and everything just clicked. My second takeaway, Europe's in trouble. Because if that's the team that they're going to roll out there for the next 4 to 5 Ryder Cups, this is what we're going to see every single time. These dudes are nasty. They are bad. They are top 15 in the world, all like 12 of them, basically. And if that's what Europe has, Rory has to be at the top of his game. And to watch him be disappointed in himself, that was like hurtful. To watch Rory kind of beat himself up with the tears and the emotion, and you felt how disappointed he was that he couldn't help his team. Below that, the reason he's so upset, because he understands that if he and Jon Rahm don't do 5 things well, they've got no shot. They've got no shot to win. And that's what it's going to look like moving forward. Rory's got to play 5. Rahm's got to play 5. And then it's going to be Victor Hovland. And then where do you go from there? So it was an amazing week, but I don't want it to get to a point where it's so lopsided on the United States side that it's not competitive anymore. But I don't know if that's going to happen, but this was a statement. It was a statement for real, and this United States team, it's going to be very, very hard for somebody to break in to this United States team, somebody from the outside looking in, because none of those 12 guys want to give up their spot.
Sorry, Kyle.
Well, I was going to say one of the low-key things that kind of flew under the radar on Sunday is that Spieth kind of called his shot for Rome. I don't know if you guys saw in the presser.
No.
He said, hey, if we play like this again, the score is going to be the same.
Yeah.
And it was like
2 years out.
can't argue with that.
It's true. They also haven't won there in 30 years. And I think that it's going to be fascinating, because I think the thing about – kind of to what Coach is saying, if Harris English and Daniel Berger and Scotty Scheffler are not on the team in 2023, then you're replacing them with guys that are, like, if you want to go by strokes gain, like 1.5, well, not 1.5, 1.3, 1.4, 1.5 guys or better. Who is Europe replacing Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood and Bernd Wiesberger with?
Sergio
might be on the team, but like the point is the level of player that they're replacing those guys with is just not as high. Now, again, course setup in Europe, potential dysfunction on the U.S. side, that hasn't all gone away, but I just the level of like the floor for U.S. talent the floor for U.S. talent is so high that I think Coach is right. Like Europe, there's some real problems. That having been said, 2 years is forever. I mean, so many things. Somebody had a tweet. I think it was Robbie Vogel. I can't remember. I think that was it. Said Francesco Molinari wasn't on the 2016 team. He wasn't even relevant. And he goes 5-0 and 2 years later, right, in Paris. So that type of thing can happen. But it doesn't – I mean, you guys are right. Like it doesn't look all that great for Europe as of right now.
The U.S. will swap in Sam Burns, Max Homa, and Will Zalatoris, and and Europe will swap in Matthias Schwab, Rasmus Højgaard, and Robert
Thomas Dietrich. Yeah,
and that's a great point. I also wanted to say one other thing that I forgot, that I got to give credit to the fact that Steve Stricker clearly did his homework, and I point directly to the Bryson Scotty Scheffler team. Like, there was never going to be Bryson with anybody but Scotty Scheffler. And then we find out in the interviews and all this how close they are, how much Scheffler respects his game, how much he leans on Bryson as kind of like a big brother type. And then you saw why they worked so well together. Four balls. We've talked about it. I thought Bryson should have been in the foursomes. After the event, I've got to take that back. I was wrong. Because the way they positioned Bryson was brilliant. He could be the showman. He can hit all these shots, but yet have a partner that if he hits it into oblivion, he's still in the hole. You do that in foursomes, you can't do that. And I thought that was really, really smart by Captain Stricker to leave him just in four balls.
Yeah, because you put him with a guy like like Scheffler's just kind of unassuming. I won't say happy to be there, but he's his disposition is very good. You put Bryson with somebody like JT, who's just out of his mind. It's not going to work. Like, because JT thinks he's the showman, and he is, and Bryson, and it just, there's a lot of problems there. So I thought the fit of those two together was, I agree, was really good.
KP, you have this article up here on CBSSports.com right now, and you've probably seen it all over the place. I saw it was being sent around the interwebs, but it was really the big takeaway for me was some of these quotes that we got, or you got, from Rory McIlroy, talking a lot about how meaningful this event is, how I believe he actually described as, you know, he's played his sixth, and that's probably more than halfway done. He was vulnerable. He was human.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I was texting with Brendan Porath, who's on the Shotgun Start podcast. And we were texting last night on the way home, and we were talking about how the Americans won. They dream team, they routed, you know, new era, all this different stuff. And yet it's still, in a lot of ways, feels like this event revolves around the Europeans. And I felt that at Hazeltine too. You know, their exit press conference is always just whether they win or lose, it's the coolest thing to be at. The way that they talk about one another, the way they talk about relationships, and I don't know, man, it's a really special week, and I think it gets you in an individual sport, it just gets you so outside of yourself. I talked to Rory for, I don't know, almost 30 minutes yesterday, just about, we talked about everything. We talked about Padraig Harrington's quote about loss of innocence. Remember the quote he had at Kiowa this year? Yeah. We talked a lot. He talked for a long time about the importance of, and this is what Coach was getting at, the importance of going, of being sent out first. That's a big deal to the Europeans. Like, I don't really think about it that much. And I don't think the American, I think it's maybe a kind of a thing to the Americans, but on the Euro side, that's a really, really big deal. And he told me that at first he was slated to go 11th, and Graham McDowell and some other guys were like, whoa, that, hold on, Rory, I know he's not playing well. Rory McIlroy does not play 11th on Sunday at the Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. And
especially when you're down, whatever the score was going into Sunday.
And he said it was so cool because he was talking about just how meaningful that was to him, for all these guys around him to say, hey, Rory sucks this week, but he's still our guy. And he was like, he told me, he's like, I couldn't sleep on Saturday night because that meant so much to me. And I wanted so badly to go out and win in that leadoff spot, you know, even though the score was out of hand and whatever. He lost to Reed in 16. He lost to JT in 18. And he was just desperate not to lose again. And I don't know. It was, I didn't like, we didn't record it. We were just talking, like, it was such a cool conversation just about the Ryder Cup, about his career, just about everything. We talked about like how we cried now so much, and Coach can relate to this, so much more so as dads than we ever did before. And I think that, I think that some of that emotion that you saw on Sunday from him was like, him considering his own golfing mortality and maybe his own like personal mortality. You know, I think weeks like this, they're so emotionally charged that they make you think about things like that you don't normally think about. So it was, I'm very grateful to have gotten to write about that, to have been there for that moment, to see him and his wife just, I mean, he was just sobbing. Like, it was so surreal to, because you have this onslaught, like the wind is coming, the tide is just rolling in for the Americans. And then all of a sudden Rory just, like, there was just this spell over everybody around this 16th green. And it was a really surreal moment. And I hope I captured at least some of that in that article.
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, it was, you captured every single thing. And I think at this point of all of us, when we watch something, we have a tendency to put the mirror up and look at ourselves. And the one thing I think I'm most proud of is over the course of the last 4 years, and why I can sit here with you guys today, is the evolving I've done as a human being, as a person, as a father, as a leader, whatever. And when you listen to a guy that you've watched since he was a curly haired, you know, young kid, and now evolved from a person who didn't even care about the Ryder Cup, who literally said, it doesn't matter to me. And now you fast forward 10 years and he's literally crying. And there's not one person, not one, that said, oh, those are fake tears. Oh, he doesn't really mean that. Oh, this is all for show. It wasn't for show. And to watch him, and at every interview that he did, how did he end it? He's like, I hope that every little girl, every little boy wants to be part of a team. So to me, it takes it outside of the world of golf and just to being a person. And I don't care if it's a team that you're playing on. I don't care if it's a team that you do a show with every week. How close have we all become in the last 9 or 10 months? Much closer than we ever were before, right? So being part of a team, because we lift each other up. And that's what Rory was talking about, is that they lifted him up when he needed it. And so many times in recent years, he's lifted them up. So win or lose, that was immaterial at that moment, because he was talking about being part of a group. And when it's all said and done, nobody's going to care about his Ryder Cup record. They're going to care about the person that he was and the people that he affected and the things that he did. And that's how I looked at it. And I took away from your coverage, KP. So it was very, very meaningful to me, because this stuff matters to me. It really, really does.
Yeah. And I think the thing that surprises guys, especially on the Euro side, and Shane Lowry essentially said this, was like, it's almost, I mean, Europe got their asses kicked. And Shane Lowry's like, this is the best week of my life. I mean, this guy won the Open Championship by what, 5, 4, 6, I don't know, by a bunch in like where he grew up, essentially. I mean, not where he grew up, but close to it. He won the Open Championship and going 1-2 in this field next to Lake Michigan with like all these crazy Americans yelling at him is the best week of his life. I mean, that's freaking, I think guys are surprised by the fact that losing together is almost like more fulfilling than winning alone.
Yes.
And yes. Rom said that. Rom told, I was talking to him on 17 T-boxes thing, you know, Brooks is almost making a one there. Morikawa is hitting it to 3 feet. I mean, it's just it's a bloodbath. And Rom's like, listen, he goes, and this was like, we were just standing on the tee with like three guys. And he goes, I won the U.S. Open 3 months ago. That doesn't touch this week.
You're kidding.
They're like in the middle of just getting destroyed. Like, it's not like play was over. He had just gotten it done with his match. And he goes, the things that you guys are feeling, like all the emotion and everything that's going on, he goes, think about how we're feeling in the middle of it. And it was just like this. It's not like he won the U.S. Open 3 years ago. He won it 3 months ago. Right. And he's so overwhelmed by just how meaningful a week like this is. And I think the Euros, I think the Americans embodied that more so this year than maybe they have in the last 20 years. But I think the Euros have always embodied it. And I think that's why they're so appealing and so attractive when it comes to rooting for a team at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting, especially with Rory, who has been in the spotlight for a third, maybe nearly half of his life, and to see the evolution that you mentioned, Coach, from the curly head. I mean, I think about my own worldview and how much it's changed in 5 years or 10 years, and he's doing it kind of in front of everyone. And he's being asked questions every single week, and it's kind of, I don't want to say weird. It's just, you always have to remember these guys are human too. It's just, we don't always think they are.
There's no doubt about it. Rob, go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead, Coach. I don't want.
No. Okay. You got it in your mind. Go ahead.
The other thing that he said was like, I was like, man, we were talking. I was like, your life is really, you have a weird life. Like, there's just not any other way to say it. Like, it's a very unique, strange life. And he was kind of laughing and he said the thing that people don't understand, and I think I put this in the article, is it's a like that week is so special for the guys that are on the team, but it's not, it doesn't stop there. It's extraordinarily special for all of their wives and girlfriends and like families to gather, to congregate in a way that they, he's like, we don't take vacations with people like we used to. We don't spend time with friends as much as we used to. So those weeks have like a heightened meaning for especially the Euros on that team.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see too, based off of what you just said, why it's so meaningful for guys to be vice captains, to just be connected. I mean, we didn't even talk about Phil at all. And he was on site. He was very much a part of being a vice captain. Zach Johnson, the same thing. Every single interview, I felt like they were talking about Tiger texting somebody or Tiger calling somebody the night before when they were in the team room. And he was very much involved. And so, and then you saw every time a guy would win, here comes the girlfriend or here comes the wife. And you just forget how many people are on site. And then, of course, the GOAT. MJ just there with the stogie and Ahmad Rashad riding his coattails. I mean, that's when it really came home to me. And then to read the quotes from MJ about, yeah, Steph Curry doing the interview with Michael Jordan. I mean, when are you ever going to get that? I mean, yeah. And you got it at the Ryder Cup. I mean, all those things just, I will never wrap my head around anybody that doesn't have golf in their life and doesn't enjoy golf and sport. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I don't want to live in a world like that. It was just freaking awesome.
I do want to give credit to this kind of pains me, but I want to give credit to Brooks Koepka because
I know.
It's a tough scene for me, but there was a moment on Sunday. So everybody was done. DJ's, you know, he's on his like third drink. Everybody's standing on the 18th green, and there were like, I think there were three matches still on the course. It was Harris English, it was Spieth and Berger, and all the players are standing around, and Koepka turns to Jenna, his fiance, and says, "Hey, I'm going to go watch Boog, who's Daniel Berger." And he kind of like with all the other guys runs back up 18, back to 17, where all those, like those other matches are kind of finishing up. And listen, that's not like abnormal. That happens a ton at team events like that. But it definitely struck me after the way he talked about this event, how heavily he had been criticized. There were no cameras around. He was just going to watch a guy that he had partnered with over the first couple of days and going to root him on, even though the event had been, you know, over for like 2 hours. It was toast. And they didn't have to do that. Like, they could have just stayed and drank and waited for everybody to come through. But Koepka kind of like was one of the first guys out there. And I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was a real thing.
It was. And yeah. I guarantee you, we don't ever hear an interview like that from Brooks Koepka again. He will never say it. I think admit something to him at the end of the day, to your point. I don't think we'll ever hear him say, "It throws me out of my rhythm." I think that's over. I really, really do.
We are going to continue to decompress on the Ryder Cup probably until we get to Rome. But I'm going to try to make a little bit of a hard pivot right now to the Sanderson Farms. And there is one guy making the trip from Whistling Straits to Jackson, Mississippi. Two guys. Who's the other one?
Zach Johnson. He was a vice captain. Oh. He's playing this week.
You don't know how hard I was racking my brain. I was thinking at the top of it, I was like, Sam Burns. No. Will's no. Outdoors. No. I was like, okay. Yeah. Two guys making the trip. Maybe they drove together. Sergio will be making, obviously, his first start since the Ryder Cup. This is interesting, Coach. You know, there's always this conversation about the Ryder Cup hangover. What can Sergio bring? Justin Rae has a very interesting stat here. In Sergio's first start following the Ryder Cup, in the last five Ryder Cups that he's played. Okay, so his next start, 2008, runner-up. 2012, T9. 2014, runner-up. 2016, T17, 2018, victory. Maybe he carries a little something over from the juices that he felt at the Ryder Cup into his next regular stroke play event.
I've got to be honest with you, Rick G. You just completely threw off all my bets for this week.
Oh, no.
Every single one. I was going to fade Sergio this week just based off the complete letdown of last week. But
isn't the counter, we don't know how far out each of those events was?
Or the field, or any how he was playing leading it. Yes, this is. It's not.
I don't think it was the next week topic. Yeah, yeah, I'm guessing it wasn't the next week, and I'm guessing that if this would have been in Europe, he would not be playing the Sanderson Farms, even if he was the defending champion.
There's
and I do believe the only reason he's playing this week is because he's the defending champion, and that means something to these guys. I cannot stand it, and we've been very critical of Spieth and these guys that don't go back to these tournaments where they've won. That's given them chances, and I know he's a veteran, and they didn't give him a chance. But to me, when you win, you owe it to the tournament to show up the next year. And I don't care what you do, but you got to show up, promote the event. They just gave you a 2-year exemption. Come on. And I'll give him a lot of credit for showing up this week. Now, do I think he's going to play well? I'm just kidding. There's nothing that you told me that's going to change me. Now, none of my picks on the show are against Sergio, but I think some of my personal picks, if I can find them, will be to fade Sergio specifically day one. Maybe not for the whole tournament, but day one, I think he's going to have a really, really slow start.
It is an interesting field, Kyle, because you've got a couple of names at the top: Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris, Sung J.M., obviously Sergio Garcia, and then now the new grads, the Korn Ferry Tour guys, who have generally one event under their belt, kind of getting a little bit more into the groove of what PGA Tour life is like. It's like this weird. I think it's like a cobbled together field of the new guys who are trying to make their mark, and then some of the guys that are looking at a field like this and saying, I should win this event.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what we're talking about with the Korn Ferry, about how it's better than people think, right? And so it's an opportunity for these guys that are, I mean, you're kind of playing in like a Korn Ferry finals type event with maybe a slightly elevated field. It's not... I mean, I see a ton of Korn Ferry guys in here, like Grayson Sig and Nick Hardy and, you know, Sahith Tagala. And there's a bunch of guys that were really, really good on that tour that you've got a real opportunity to, I mean, just change the trajectory of your season right here, of your next couple of seasons. So that's always a really, I think, intriguing fall storyline. If Sergio wins again, it's like... Okay, great. Like Sergio won another tournament. But if Sahith Tagala wins, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, this like actually changes, you know, at least a little bit how I think about this upcoming season. Not a ton, but I think something like that is a pretty meaningful thing in the fall.
These 500 FedEx Cup points worth just the same as when we get to May and June and July. So certainly go a long way. That's the every stroke matters conversation. Also, breaking news. We should have a breaking news drop.
Yeah, I saw this.
Breaking news. Although maybe breaking news doesn't happen that much while we're actually on. But hot off the presses, Coach, your backyard, your neck of the woods, the Farmers, Torrey Pines, one of my favorite places on the planet. We're getting a format change. And I shouldn't say format.
Okay.
A schedule change.
Okay.
That event will run Wednesday through Saturday, a Saturday finish, presumably to avoid the conference championship Sunday NFL viewing experience. Torrey and the Farmers, they're not going to battle it. They're going to finish up on Saturday. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that, A, I'm not doing PGA Tour Live that week. I did just get my schedule through April 1st, and I'm very excited for the four tournaments that I will be doing. However, I feel like that Wednesday, me and Rick G are going to be just sauntering around the Torrey Pines, me and you together, because Wednesdays, it's kind of our light days around here. So I like the fact they're moving up. But make no mistake about it, my bosses at the PGA Tour, they are not stupid. And they don't walk around saying, yes, we can go up against the conference championships. Yes, we're going to have people watching us. You know what? The easiest thing to do, shift it one day. And now you finish on Saturday, which is now in the middle of what? college basketball season that really doesn't get going until football is over. So I think it's a brilliant move. I think it's the right move. And we're going to be seeing this a lot more, I think, throughout the schedule, having just kind of shifting it around so you can maximize the amount of viewership that you're going to get for said tournament. I think this is a really smart move.
Coach, you and I will be throwing back some Arnold Palmer spikes on Wednesday out at Torrey Pines. Don't
no
you worry.
Doubt.
Don't you worry about that, my friends. KP, this is actually, I'm critical of the tour. I love this game. I love this sport. I want to see it in the best light. I want to put it on the biggest platform. I tip my cap. This news came out a couple of minutes ago. I don't know how it's going to end up shaking out. I might make the case the entire fall portion of the schedule should be Wednesday to Saturday and not even try to compete with the PGA Tour. Go get those eyeballs. I don't think it's especially if you do it, because here's my question. Sorry, I'm going on a rant. I'm trying to figure this out.
Compete with the NFL, you mean?
Don't compete. What did I say? Yeah, don't compete with the NFL. Yep. The idea is now the week before, which I haven't looked at the schedules, probably Pebble, that's still going to finish on Sunday. So there's going to be a shorter turnaround. But if you actually did this for the entire fall portion of this, of the schedule, guys would get into that routine of Wednesday through Saturday for multiple weeks in a row. I don't think it'd be that big of a deal.
Yeah. I'm pro ending tournaments on Saturday, Monday. It's nice to have Sunday off, right? Because it's like the one day that all my friends and all the people that we like probably spend time with like have like legit off for, you know, broadly speaking. And for us, it's like a really heavy day. So selfishly, I love it. I think it's awesome because you get done on Saturday. Sunday, you can hang with the kids, watch some football, go to church, whatever. And then Monday, you kind of ramp it back up again. It solves a little bit of your problem of this like never ending season type thing, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't completely solve it because you're still playing 50 events in 52 weeks or whatever. But I think it kind of helps you out a little bit for not only us but all the players. And do we really need like 3 days of lead in to a tournament? You can get it all done in 2. I mean, furthermore, do we need 4 days of lead in to the Ryder Cup Friday? No, do that in 2. You know, I think some of the stuff on the front end of these things can be shortened quite a bit.
It's exciting. We'll see how it all shakes out. I'm looking at the schedule. So the week before is actually the American Express, and then Pebble Beach is after the Farmers, and then we'll roll to the Phoenix Open.
Yeah, I think I'm doing those two. Yeah.
Phoenix is always Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So the Super Bowl is not until February 13th this year.
Yeah, they moved it back a week, just to kind of give a little run. You got the extra week this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So here's what we're gonna do. Sanderson Farms. We've got to do our best bets. We were pretty good at the Ryder Cup. We've got to do our top tens, our sleepers, and we have to make those infamous one and done selections. But first, I need to get Coach's take on Patrick Cantlay. No. Ever since you called Patrick Cantlay a robot, he's like, Coach, watch this. I'm not gonna stop talking, and also I'm going to be very emotional out on the golf course.
I say on my show, The Early Edge, all the time that we change lives, that we change the course of careers when
I didn't know
we have a really good, really good week. And I believe that at any moment, my phone will ring and will be either Patrick Cantlay's agent, his manager, his girlfriend, if he has one, whatever, or it's going to be Patrick himself.
It'll be him himself, Coach.
Himself. And he's just going to say, thank you, Coach. Thank you for bringing it to the light what I was doing wrong. And now all of a sudden, he's a media darling. All of a sudden, he does that 7-second pause. And then he answers the question. And all of a sudden, he's brilliant. All of a sudden, he's got this incredible personality. I had no less than 5 people tweet me, says, Coach, where is the Coach Cantlay commercial coming up? Believe me, I've got it ready to roll as soon as they call me. But I am able to admit when I'm wrong. And I've really enjoyed Patrick Cantlay the last month. I truly have. Now, I was on Bryson to win, so he could have missed a putt or two. But regardless of that, I've been incredibly entertained by his answers. How he fist pumped to the Ryder Cup, that was completely out of character for him. So hopefully this Cantlay continues on down the road, then you'll never hear me say robot ever, ever again.
He has the most economic celebrations of any golfer ever. He does it. I was sitting on six on Sunday with Brendan Quinn of The Athletic, and we were talking about how, like, he does this fist pump, but it, his fist only moves like a millimeter. It's just like, it's like right here. And he says some not repeatable things as he's fist pumping, but his celebrations are just, I don't know. He's very, like, he might be crazy, but he's also at the same time very endearing.
He is. Yeah, he's kind of like he's almost like Rain Man, almost. Like, you know, he has every answer for everything that you ask him. He just really, like, does.
Bryson's crazy, but he's not endearing. Cantlay seems crazy, but kind of in an endearing way. So
I agree.
I'm with you, Coach. I think the evolution of Cantlay over the last month or two has been, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Me too.
We'll keep an eye out for that Coach and Cantlay spot coming to a television near you. We are going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And we're back. All right, gents, time for best bets. This is where we go over to our friends at Caesars and we scour the book. We find the best thing that we want to bet on, and we put it in the outline. That's how it works. So last week, we actually did okay here. So Mark went with the very, very specific foursomes day one U.S. over Europe exact score, 2.5 to 1.5.
It almost hit too. Yeah.
Didn't give him enough credit. It was 3 to 1. Yeah, and it looked like it was live for a while there. That was 6 to 1. So Mark loses on that one. Greg got a push off top Irishman between Rory and Shane Lowry.
Wow.
And then, wow. I know, think about that before the event started. And then KP, you and I, we had the same one and it cashed. It was the USA to go out and win in Sunday singles. We had mentioned that, hey, at worst, they're favorites in 9 of these matches. At best, it's like 11. It ended up being 11. John Rahm was the only favorite from the European side.
And they won, what, 8-4 on Sunday?
8-4. Yes.
It felt like it could have been. I mean, we were watching it kind of unfold out there, and there was a sense at one point, it was right after, it was as like the first three matches were finishing up. I think they led in like all but Poulter, and you're like, this could be 10-2. Like they might get to 3 touchdowns here, which would have been crazy. So yeah, that seemed like a pretty,
especially on U.S. soil. I wonder what the last time they lost. Well, I guess it was 2012 when they lost singles on U.S. soil, but it doesn't happen very often.
That was the easiest bet of the week, by the way. It came off at -195 on Sunday, and I banged it for as much as my book would allow me to. That was the easiest bet of the week. Even with the juice, it was never in doubt.
Yeah, it was -143 before the event started, and obviously once the bloodbath began, those odds got a little bit longer. Still, definitely, Coach, worth the squeeze. Let's turn our attention to this week. Sanderson Farms and Coach, let's go right back to you. You have gone through Caesars. You've checked out every single option, and you have come back with your best bet, and it is?
My best bet this week is going to be Will Zalatoris over Sanjay. Wait a second. I'm looking at my wrong list. I got to bring out, I wrote down a bunch of things. And then, so here's what I'm going with. Sorry. I'm still going with Will Zalatoris -120 over Sanjay M. That's my best bet this week. Cause I think Zalatoris coming off an 11 place finish in the first event. I think he's truly motivated every time out and he wants to just get to that victory as soon as he possibly can. I think it could come this week.
I love Will Zalatoris. I'm a little bit worried, although my best bet, we can still win both of these, Coach, because my best bet is Sungjae Im to finish inside the top 20. It's even money. So I'm happy for Will Zalatoris to finish 18th, Sungjae to finish 19th. All good. We can make this happen.
But I'm not good with that. I'm not good with that because I have Zalatoris in a top 10. So I need him to go 9th and 19th, and then we'd be good.
Or 9th and 11th. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I see Sungjae Im, especially coming down the stretch of last season, getting back into his DNA, which is being that of a great ball striker. 6 events in a row, he's gained strokes off the tee. 4 of his last 5, he's gained on approach, and he's back on Bermuda grass, which is his best putting surface, which leaves you, Kyle, coming off of, you might be 2-0 on best bets. No, we all lost on week 1-1.
Rom top 10.
So if you win this one, you have officially started a streak, sir. It has happened before.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to go with my guy, Mito Pereira. Three ball against Cam Davis and Bassi Munoz. He's +150. He's actually the favorite out of that group, which Bassi, what, he won here 2 years ago?
2 years ago, I think, yes.
Yeah. So there's some good history for him here, but I love the way Mito's playing. He was great at the Fortnite, and I think he'll be great again this week. His strokes gained tee to green is
phenomenal.
He's like eighth in this field over his last 20 rounds, and he's a plus in every category. So he's playing really solid golf across the board, which is it's always a good thing.
He also has like an 8 event head start on all these other grads who are coming up. When you have getting comfortable with the tour and the cameras and the ropes and the infrastructure and where to eat lunch and all that stuff, he's got like an 8 or 9 event head start on those guys, which I think is valuable, especially right now early in the season.
And it should be pointed out too that that Caesars has him in a head to head with Keegan Bradley. Well, Keegan Bradley finished T4 here a year ago, so that tells you where the books place Mito Pereira in this event as well.
Absolutely. If you look at strokes gained overall over the last 20 rounds, I guess Sam Burns, Sungjae, Sergio, Mito, Harold Varner, Corey Connors. So that's the kind of company that he's keeping. And I don't know that the numbers have kind of caught up with, you know, that Sergio is not getting the same number as Mito Pereira is because of his name. So I always like doing stuff with guys.
Let's move on down to our top 10, our sleeper, and our pick to win. Let's start with the sleeper, Coach. This is someone, I don't know if we've ever defined this. We usually go 40, 50, something like that, or longer to win the event. This week, Sanderson Farms has created an opportunity where I think 5 of the last 7 or 5 of the last 8 winners were first-time winners, something like that. Yeah. So you can kind of get some of these longer shots to win the event. So who's your sleeper for this week?
Well, I'm not going with a guy who is a rookie or is coming off the Korn Ferry Tour or it would be his first event to win either. But I'm going to go with CT Pan. I had him several times in the summer in PGA Tour live rounds. And he's really a guy that, despite his stature, is really a grinder. And he really figures out how to score in rounds. and he was a top 20 here a week ago. So, or excuse me, a year ago. So I think CT Pan is a guy that nobody ever pays attention to. And then on Sunday, you can see him on the second page of the leaderboard. To me, that's what a sleeper is all about.
66 to 1 to win. If you would have told me CT Pan would have beat out, what, six other golfers, including Rory McIlroy, whoever else was in that playoff at the Olympics, Mito.
Yes.
CT Pan was going to be the one to come. Murakawa was in it, I think.
Yep.
You would have colored me surprised, and I certainly was, but CT Pan got it done. KP, I'm going with Joseph Bramlett, who, if you're paying attention, won the Korn Ferry Finals a couple of weeks ago. He made the cut at the Fortinet, and he is very, very long off the tee and very, very wild, but at the Country Club of Jackson, I think you can get away with that. So I'm going with Joseph Bramlett at 70 to 1.
I'm going to go like Sahith Theegala. I mentioned him earlier. He's 100 to 1. The numbers are great. It's mostly Korn Ferry stuff, but his pedigree is excellent, and I like guys like that who have had some success on the Korn Ferry and have a good pedigree.
Let's move on to our top 10 picks. I'll start here because Kyle mentioned his name already when he was rattling off those really good players recently. One of them was Harold Varner III. That's where I'm going. HV3 has been piling up. That's right, coach. Piling up top 20 finishes, both of the Northern Trust and the BMW Championship. He finished T16 at the Fortinet. He's striking it well at the moment. I don't know if he can win, but a top 10 wager for me on HV3. Coach, where would you like to go?
I'm going to go right back to the well again. I've realized the last 9 months with you guys every single week, sometimes it is right in front of you. I'm going to go Will Zalatoris, top 10. You're getting him at plus 188 odds, which I love in a field like this, nearly plus 200. So I'm going to go Zalatoris, top 10, pretty straight for me.
Zalatoris, top 10 for Coach. KP, your top 10, please.
I was trying to decide between Keegan and Corey Connors. I think I'm going to go with Keegan. He was top 10 here last year. The tee to green numbers over the last couple months have been really solid. So I'll go Keegan as my top 10. I didn't see his number on top 10.
Jacob will type it into the outline here shortly, and I will recite it when I see it. Plus 333. There you go. Producer Jacob.
He's so fast. He's so fast. He's crazy. Best, he's so crazy.
Pick to win. Oh yeah. All the money. Pick to win this event. KP, let's just go right back to you here. Then I'll go and we'll give Coach the stage at the end. Go ahead, KP.
I started doing this last fall where I would pick Billy Z for every fall event to win. Yeah, I burned him with my one and done. I didn't know he'd finish second at the Masters. I thought I was, outsmarting all of you clowns, and I was the fool. So I'm going to go with Zalatoris. It's an overstatement to say that I think the Ryder Cup fired him up, but I think that he watched it, and I think that it's not uninspiring, right? It's even for guys like that compete at that level. I think you see that and you're like, damn, I want to be there in Rome, especially for him. I mean, those are his guys, like Spieth and JT and, Chef. He plays with Scheffler all the time here in Dallas. So I'll go with Zalatoris in the week coming out off the Ryder Cup.
Will Zalatoris 20 to 1 over at Caesars. I'm going with Sam Burns. And in the wise words of Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof. That's what he said, right? The ceiling is the roof.
That's one of the greatest of all time. The ceiling is the roof. That was so great. He didn't even realize he said it at that moment. He didn't even realize he said it. That was so great.
It's all about the ceiling. It's all about the ceiling with Sam Burns. Here's a good stat. Sam Burns, in 12% of his rounds last season, gained five or more strokes on the field. In a single round, five strokes, 12% of the time. No one else on tour did it at a rate that often. Even if you go to gaining three strokes per round or four, he is amongst the game's elites. He needs to just not have that one bad round every single week. And Sam Burns will be winning a lot of events. He's 18 to 1 over at Caesars. He's my pick to win, which, Coach, leaves your pick to win the technically 2022 Sanderson Farms Championship.
Yeah, I love your two picks, by the way. Sam Burns, you said it. If he can just get rid of the one bad round, man, this guy's dynamic and he can go low. The average score in the last 5 years at this event is minus 19. And Sam Burns feels very, very comfortable in that realm. I almost went with Vils Altoras because I do believe he's motivated. I do believe that he wants to get off to a great start and start piling those points up for the Ryder Cup and more specifically the President's Cup, which will be the next one. But I didn't want to burn either guy. I didn't want to burn either guy this week. So I'm going to go with the guy who does have a very good history here. And I think that we've kind of been overlooking him the last couple of months, even though he's been playing very, very well. He's made some changes to his team, to his game. And I think he's become very, very consistent. And I think in these off events that don't have a lot of top players, you got to look at Sebastian Munoz and say, this is a guy that can certainly have a top 10 pick, but very easily could win come Sunday. He's like Sam Burns, that he can go low and really get on a birdie string. I'm hoping that happens this week. So I'm going to lock in Sebastian Munoz as my one and, oh, excuse me, as my winner this week.
Spoiler alert. He's also coming up later for you, Coach. One.
I love Bassie. Bassie's great. I think he's super underrated. He's a good player.
I like him too. When he gets going, he gets yeah. it going. He's fun to watch.
Will he be on the President's Cup team?
It's funny. I just looked this up the other day. The President's Cup for the Internationals. They just started qualifying recently. The United States qualifying goes so much longer than the international team does. Hold on. Here we go. Current international team standings. Oh boy, this is good.
You love this it when moment. The Wi-Fi just I think, dies well, right I think, at that moment.
Real quick, I think it's smarter to go shorter on your. Like, I don't care what you did 17 months.
I agree.
I'm sorry. Like, it just doesn't have a lot of bearing. I mean, I get that you're trying to have guys earn a spot, but I don't know. It to me is kind of meaningless to go farther back than 12 months.
So they started qualifying at the Open Championship. So just a couple of months ago, and it will run through apparently the 2022 BMW Championship, if I'm understanding this correctly. Here's the current team.
Connors has to be up there.
He is. Louis Oosthuizen, Abraham Anser, Cameron Smith, Eric Van Rooyen, Hideki Matsuyama. That's your top five. Then you go to Mito's already number six on this team, by the way.
Wow.
Sungjae Im, Mackenzie Hughes, Dylan Fratelli, and Johnny Vegas. And then the bottom five of the top 15 in the rankings are Corey Connors, Adam Scott, Charles Schwartzel, CT Pan, and Siwoo Kim.
Low key, that's a better team than Europe just threw out there this past week.
I didn't want to say that, but I think their problem, Coach, not that we need to go deep on the President's Cup right now. their problem is a little bit of what Europe's problem is, in that if you go to Royal Melbourne, that team, like the team you just listed, they're kind of in it. They go to Quail Hollow against DJ, Brooks, Bryson. It's just not a great course for guys that I think are, you know, Cam Smith and Abe's a good ball striker. There's a lot of guys on that team that have really good short games. They're really good shot shapers. They just don't have the length off the tee. Mm-hmm. And so I think you go to a place like Quail Hollow and it neutralizes everything that they're really good at.
It's an interesting team. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about that before that event starts. All right, one and done. This is it. This is the final thing we have to do. We are in week two, so we have 1 week under our belts. Myself, Kyle, Coach, and Greg all got $0 at the Fortinet. Sia Najad got $65,333. Producer Jacob, $315,000. And Mark out in front early with $763,000. Coach, not only are you with us at the bottom, but you already spoiled your pick. It's Sebastian Munoz. That's who you're running out this week.
Yeah, but I had something to say, that in sports betting and in golf betting, the one thing you never do is talk trash after Thursday. Ever, because you know you got to get to Sunday. Mark Immelman not only talked trash after week one, he publicly talked trash after week one. So now I no longer am focused on the group to beat. I'm focused on Mark Immelman, and he is in my crosshairs from now until the end of time. And so this week, I'm going Sebastian Munoz, and as much as I want to beat you guys, Mark Immelman, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
I'm trying to find the text that he said. I couldn't find it, but yes, he was openly, and he was really just ragging on you, coach. He didn't even acknowledge anything else except that you missed the cut.
It fired me up.
It would be like somebody saying they're like an NFL quarterback saying they're going to the Super Bowl after a week one win.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I couldn't believe it. That's all right. I went to high school with a lot of kids like that who they wanted to be on our basketball team, weren't good enough, so they'd talk trash from the stands. That's kind of how I felt with Mark talking trash to me. But we'll get there. Don't even worry about it.
Sebastian Munoz for the coach. I'll go next because I've already talked about my guy. It's Harold Varner III. I don't think I have much incentive to hang on to him, and he's like 33-1. He's got one of the five or six shortest odds. I'm just going to roll out Mr. HV3. Kyle, you also share the same amount of dollars that coach and I do, which is exactly zero. You can change that this week with a good one.
I'm going to go with Keegan, partly because I hate staring at him all season because I always am tempted to pick him. And so I just want to get it out of the way. And so I don't have to just look at it anymore. So I'm going to go with Keegan in the second event.
That's such a great point. There's that category of like 10 or 15 guys that are like a blinking red light that you always want to take and you never do. Oh, he's right there. He's right in that category. Oh my gosh.
I will say, coach, to your credit, last season with your second pick, you took Sepp Straka. This feels like a big upgrade to Sebastian Munoz, a guy who has actually won this tournament in the past. So I think you are off to a much better start this year.
Did I just say that I just had Mark Immelman in my crosshairs? Because very quickly, Rick G is going right next to him. Right next to him. Sepp Straka, I will never live that down as long as I live.
And hey, what do you think what do you think DJ was saying in the team room after beating Paul Casey three different times, coach?
I'm going to guess it had F-bomb in it.
Give me Paul Casey.
Oh, no!
Every morning DJ woke up, he said, give me Paul Casey.
He just rolls into the team room and goes,
Give me Paul Casey.
I want him again. Now give me a drink.
Oh, I didn't even see that coming. Oh, my God. You guys got me. Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't even see that coming. Oh, my God. Oh my God.
I was so ready for
a serious answer right there.
I've been holding on to that, but that would have been I just thankfully Jacob was – on it. Thank you, producer Jacob.
Oh my God, I'm done. I'm officially done for the show. I can't say anything.
Keegan for Kyle, HV3 for myself. Coach is going with Sebastian Munoz. We will get picks from Greg and Sia. Jacob, who is seeing himself near the top of the leaderboard for the first time in a long time, is going to try to back up his $315,000 from the Fortinet Championship with whom, sir?
Well, I think this week we're going to go with Mr. Chuck Hoffman.
Ooh. Oh, Chuckster.
This is a birdie bonanza or whatever we're trying to call it, you know, scoring fest. We've been trying to workshop a new phrase for that since, you know, we have no clue what to call it. The Chuck can go low. Hopefully we can give out points for first round leader because that tends to be where he soars.
I was going
to
say he and Keegan can just have like a first round leader matchup situation going on. Those guys are like the king of shooting a 65 on Thursday.
There's a couple of names, and I will give credit. Sepp Straka is among them, of names that you that you only see at like 9 a.m. on PGA Tour 5 at the top of the leaderboard, and then you never see them again.
For the longest time, my dad thought Ricky Barnes was like the best golfer on earth because he only checked the scores. He only checked the scores Thursday at 9 a.m., and he was in the lead. at four under through five every single time. Yep. And like thought he was the best player on earth.
And but, then no, inevitably sure. they make the turn, look at the leaderboard and you know, miss the cut or whatever. So I'm going with Hoff this week.
Okay. Hoffman for Jacob, and we don't have Mark's pick yet.
Shocking. Shocking. Shocker.
Well, yeah. We're holding on to this episode until it will be released after they send in the picks.
Yeah. Right. So we don't know in the moment, but when this episode goes live, all picks will be submitted. Is that accurate?
That is correct. And everyone can check what those picks are on the cheat sheet if you follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm low-key hoping, Jacob, that Mark forgets to send his in because we have new rules in place this year that don't allow the, oh, I just forgot, and I'll give it out before 8 a.m. Thursday morning. No. So people at home understand this. If you don't get it in on time, you get the lowest ranked player in the field. Period. End of story. That's what we're doing.
Did we say that was OWGR, right?
Yeah, the official world golf ranking for the lowest. So if an amateur's in the field, they don't have a golf ranking, so you don't have to take them.
Okay.
It's a professionals.
It'll be like Martin Trainer, 1,233rd.
Yeah. And my heart would break if Mark got Martin Trainer. My heart would break.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be devastated. All right. There you go. Follow at First Cut Pod for all your cheat sheets and other musings. Gentlemen, thank you very much. This Sanderson Farms Mega Preview Pod in the books. I'm off to see him. I'm off to see the big, the beefy one.
Tell me say hello.
Tell me say hello. Go hit some long drives and see how it goes. So I am hitting the road right now. I want to thank producer Jacob, does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, it's the coach. You can find him on Twitter at the coach rules. Kyle Porter is at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.